Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Lynette, on our last podcast, we interviewed Jamie Cabe, who is the director of the Forgotten Initiative, and she began to tell us the story about how this entity started and what all they do with their advocacy across the country. The Lord started with foster care awareness in their family, prompted curiosity, which led to prayer and action, and I'm excited to hear the continuation of the story about how the Forgotten Initiative began.
Me too, Tara. It's such a joy to have Jamie back with us. And we pray that you, as a part of the body of Christ, as the hands and feet of Jesus, will be prompted to engage your community's foster children. I believe Jamie will offer you the beginning first steps you will need to move forward. So we hope you're encouraged today as we continue our conversation with Jamie Cabe.
Foster care is about caring for a child for a time, loving another family, like being a safe place for a time. And so we really fell in love with that vision. And we said, you know, we got to do this. We really had a heart for siblings. And we were just at this point, and we had been broken. We were just really open. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want to do, Lord? Use us. We're here. We're ready. You've changed our perspective so many times. Like, what do you need? And so 2 days after our classes ended, we had already had our license because of, you know, going through the process a little bit different way, thinking we were going to adopt first. But 2 days after those classes ended, we got a call about two little boys who were brothers who needed a foster home. And they were 7 months old and 3 years old. And we said yes to them. And we were so excited to start that journey. And I remember the first, when we were waiting for them to pull in, we had actually been in Florida when we got the call, and we came home, ran to the store, got all this stuff, you know, and waiting for them to pull in. I was so nervous. Like, we had no clue what we were about to embark in. We did not know.
Good thing. Yes, it is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Who they were, what they were like. I mean, we knew very minimal information, but that caseworker pulled in at the same time our bus dropped off our seven-year-old from school. And I just remember her running in, "Are they here?" We were all so ready to open our home to kids. And so I went out and I remember seeing little seven-month-old Bobby, who just in his car seat, and seeing little three-year-old Dade, who was so quiet and so scared, and just picking him up and saying, "We are so glad you're here." And bringing them into our home. And that began our first foster care journey. Those puzzle pieces, like I talked before about the ministry, were coming together. And ultimately, in April of 2011, formed together in a picture that became the Forgotten Initiative. So the Forgotten Initiative is all about, started in my community. I just wanted to connect God's people to the foster care community in tangible ways, in whatever ways they needed, really. And so we just started a Facebook page, and I started sharing about it on my blog. And so a need would arise, I'd be talking with workers. A need would arise, I would share that need with people. Someone would say, "I've got it." I would just connect them to that need, and we were off and running. And so I was sharing about this on the blog, and someone from another state reached out to me and said, "I love what you're doing. I want to do that in my community. Can you help me?" And I'm like, "Well, sure. You know, I don't really know what I'm doing yet, but let's do it together." And so that just kind of started and continued to snowball to now we have over 30 communities. So advocates, we call them. They're local leaders in their community who are getting to know agency workers. They're learning the needs, the true needs of that community. They're connecting the body of Christ, equipping the church to meet those needs. And they're just continuing that relationship so that God's people can serve.
That's awesome.
That's what we do.
So how do you train the advocates to start something new in their communities?
Yes. And there is an entire, I'll just say this too, like a little before that, there's an entire process now to become an advocate. As we've grown, our leadership team, our national team has grown to support and equip these advocates, because what we've realized is I can't just do work in my community necessarily and be very effective at helping other people do it. And so I'm not the local leader in our community anymore. I'm focused on the national side of things. So what we do to train our advocates is, you know, we're literally just having lots of conversations with them. We're sending them materials. We're helping them understand, like, it is about humbly coming in to serve these workers, just exactly what you guys said. The last thing we want to do is make promises we can't keep.
Right.
Overpromise and underdeliver. And I'll tell you, I'm pretty good at doing that. So I try, you know, that's learned from experience, is that doesn't work and that doesn't make for good examples. And so we're training them, we're bringing them, we have quarterly calls together where we call them round tables, where we'll bring a group of maybe five advocates together. And there will be some sort of like a topic, like building relationships with churches, or, you know, serving agencies in this way, or maybe it's over a certain program that we're developing with them. So those are very important for our advocates to just learn and grow together. One of the things we feel like we can do the best is just connecting our advocates to each other, because they're teaching each other. Everyone's in a different community.
Right.
There's different things that happening in different communities, you know, and so every need is a little bit different, and yet there's a lot of similarities, and definitely the core is the same. Every month we're sending out a video to our advocates, just a short 5-minute of updates that are happening, but also some vision casting just to kind of keep first things first. And then our favorite thing we do, also we have full-time staff dedicated to just coaching and equipping our advocates, meeting with them when they need it, but also throughout the year and scheduled times as well. But one of our favorite things is we have an annual retreat where we bring our advocates together. They get there on their own, but we pay everything else. And this is the best time because we get to meet each other and be together in person. We spend two nights together, and we train them on different topics, leadership, development, all kinds of stuff. We also just connect and laugh and hang out and challenge each other and love on each other. I mean, it's our absolute favorite thing. And that's a huge piece of what we do. It's really about communicating with each other well, keeping those lines open, and then connecting with each other well.
So see, this is just unbelievable, because it began with what we're trying to reiterate to people to do. Go to your local Department of Family and Children's Services and say, how can I help you? And this is how the Lord uses that first step of obedience, you know. We can't all do everything. We can all do something, right?
Right.
And look what the Lord wants to do when we just take one step toward helping a child in foster care.
Right.
And supporting our local government workers, because it's one of the hardest jobs I've ever seen. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. Well, that is a huge focus for us. We look at it very holistically. These kids are so very important because they are very vulnerable. You know, this has been done to them. But these workers, man, not only because when you support them, they're better able to help the kids, but they just need our love and support as well.
They absolutely do.
So do the foster parents and the biological parents. Like, we are just very passionate about this whole community of people, because maybe you're not called to bring in a child. Maybe you're called to be an encouragement to a worker, or maybe you're called to be a mentoring family to a vulnerable family. I mean, there are so many ways that doesn't even scratch the surface of how you can serve and support this community.
It's so true. So true. Well, I know that through your foster care experience and through your role at the Forgotten Initiative that you've added another title to your name, which is author.
Yes.
Oh.
And yes, girl, yes. I have all those books and I share them with everybody. They're fantastic. So can you tell us about the Who Loves series? Because I love them so much.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. Actually, when you said another title, I'm like, what? What is that?
Grocery store gal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Who Loves series came about after a retreat. Usually we get our best ideas right after our retreat, I feel like, because we're on our way home. We're all pumped up. And we're talking to each other about what's next. And so we realized, at least from our perspective, we weren't seeing a lot of resources for kids in foster care. There's resources for kids who've been adopted. There's, you know, resources for kids who've had some trauma and stuff, but we didn't necessarily see resources, specific language for kids in foster care. And so we just decided, you know, what's the main thing we want our kids to know is that they're loved. And what are their circumstances telling them? Well, their circumstances might be telling them that they're not worth anything. They're walking around being moved with a garbage bag, or, you know, they've been abused, or they're neglected, or they're having to move homes because of behaviors. You know, their circumstances aren't conveying that message, but man, the Lord loves them and we love them and they have value and they matter. And so what we did is took, you know, kind of broke it down to three age levels. So the first age level is who loves baby, mm-hmm. and it's for 0 to 3 year olds, and it's a board book, which is so fun.
I love that book. It's so cute.
I know, I love it too. And it's very, very basic, who loves baby. And all it does is walks through the cast of characters in a child who's been in foster care's life. So mommy loves baby, daddy loves baby, foster parent loves baby, you know, siblings, grandparents, church family, judge, social workers, all that kind of thing. So, and my favorite part is at the end when they get it open to the last page that is everybody. Mm-hmm. Who loves baby. And the pictures are amazing. It's actually my sister is the illustrator.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And
she's
so
good.
Such a fun project. Oh, she's so good. I know. But yeah, so that's Who Loves Baby. And then Who Loves Me is for ages 3 to 7. And that really takes them to the next level, kind of developmentally too, of it kind of goes really to that same idea. Who loves me? Mommy loves me, daddy loves me. But then it adds a little additional, like, they love you so much, but right now, you know, they I can't even remember exactly what the words are, but they need help taking care of you. Mm-hmm. And so, and then, you know, the next one. So that one's really geared to, like, a child with an adult reading. So the child can kind of read, who loves me, or mommy loves me, daddy loves me. And the adult can say, yeah, they do. They love you so much, but right now they need help. So that's for that. And then the final book is probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's I Am Loved. It's for kids 7 to 10 year old. And it's written more in a chapter book, like a little junior chapter book. And instead of walking through the exact same model, because these are older kids, it's a story of a little guy who is in foster care. It starts with, I never knew what a foster kid was until I became one. Mm. And it walks through the day the police came to his door and what happened and how he's navigated this journey with the different people. So you still see those same cast of characters, but it just dives a lot deeper into it and a lot of emotions and feelings that he has, we bring up. And this book does not end with a bow, you know, because foster care doesn't always. And a lot of these kids who are going to read it are in the waiting phase. And so he ends with not knowing what's going to happen to him, but he does know that there are a lot of people who care about him. And so in this book also, there's a section for kids to write their own journey or draw their own journey, which we love. And the thing that I probably am most excited about with these books, at least in the creation of them, was the fact that we wrote them. I used my kids, a lot of their experiences throughout the book as well. But we also talked to therapists and we talked to foster
parents. Oh, that's great.
And we talked to social workers and we said, is this accurate? Is this authentic? You know, is this what you're seeing? Because so that's why I feel like I can be even more excited, because this was a team effort with my awesome team at TFI, but also with a lot of people who are in this community who are able to speak to it and made it so much better than it would have been. So it's been an awesome thing. And to get pictures, we get them a lot, or stories from people who are reading the books of pictures of their kids reading. Aww. It is like such a gift to us. We love it.
Well, I highly recommend them. I think they're great. I've sent them and passed them along to lots of foster families. And so you have a specific website for that though, right? Is it wholoveseries.org?
Yep. It's just wholoveseries.org.
Okay.
Yep. And we'll that will go that. Straight to the books.
We'll add that in the show notes, but they could probably get to that from your website as well, which we will
share. Yeah. And the great thing on that website too is it has some discussion questions and some extra resources for parents as they read these with their kids, because these books may bring up and probably will bring up some feelings, some big feelings like we talk about in the book, because it's going to get to the core of some of these things these kids are feeling. So we help you navigate that too.
And I'm sure that that can be a baby step process.
Right.
I was thinking of a little girl I met Sunday at church, and we were able to take her a duffel bag. She had nothing, coming into care. And so you know, she just kept her head down. She was just a beautiful little girl, kept her head down. But she's seven, eight. And I'm thinking this book is going to bring up a lot of emotions.
Yes.
And so you really do need that adult, someone that you can trust to go through that with you.
And what a great connection with foster mom and dad.
Yeah, for foster mom and dad to be able to have this tool, because we haven't lived that.
Right.
And they have, the kids are the ones carrying all those feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a lot to carry. I think one of the things that has most impacted me maybe in our classes that we took to be foster parents was the idea that kids have, you know, they're developmentally, or they're physically a certain age. So maybe this little girl's seven, but maybe because she hasn't had the building blocks of a healthy, nurturing family, maybe developmentally she's more like five.
Yes.
But experientially, maybe she's experienced more than many adults have ever experienced. So she's more like an adult in some of the things she's experienced. And so how in the world is she supposed to process life and process feelings? And that is why we see behaviors and, you know, that kind of thing that are, that we can determine like, oh, that's bad behavior, that's negative. But the reality is they're just trying to figure out everything that's going on inside of them.
They really are. And I have to want to move on to one of our favorite things you do is the podcast.
We love it.
Oh. We do. We really do.
You guys.
We don't miss an episode. And so the Forgotten Podcast, I love the intro. It's just a comfort to us and it encourages Tara and I both. And we share it with all of our adoptive and foster families that the Lord brings into our lives. But could you just take a minute and tell us about the podcast and maybe I have my favorite episodes, but just maybe one of your favorite episodes.
Okay. This podcast also came about after a retreat.
Those retreats are awesome.
Yeah.
They are awesome. I'm telling you, one of our advocates actually said, Jamie, you tell us to dream big. And here's my big dream. I want you to start a podcast and I want to help you do it.
Oh, that's great.
It was awesome. And it was cool because we had kind of, that had been stirring in our hearts too, but it was like, how in the world? And it wasn't ever the right time until then. And so she helped us start it. And what we do, I love, love, love the podcast because I get an interview just like you guys are doing
this
in the interview. It's the best seat in the house, isn't it?
Like, it is.
To interview people who, some of them you know, some of them you need to know. That's how I like to think of it.
Yeah.
It's these stories that people share, and it's all related to foster care. So it's foster parents, it's workers, it's people who've grown up in foster care. It's, you know, it's just basically anyone, it's ministry leaders, people who are connected to the foster care community or who can bring hope to those of us who are.
Right. Absolutely.
And so we just, our whole passion is to help people become aware so that they have more understanding and empathy for the foster care community. But then for those who are in the foster care community, we just want to be a source of encouragement. You can do this. You are not alone. And then we also want to help those who are like, they want to do more. You know, maybe they can't continue to be a foster parent because they have too many kids in their home, but they have to do more. They've been exposed. And so how can we help them become an advocate, not just through TFI, but an advocate in their community? What kind of tools, leadership, you know, thoughts and guidelines can we help them? So that's really the passion of the podcast, is just to bring awareness, encouragement, and advocacy to those who are in the foster care community and who care for the foster care community.
Well, it's a huge encouragement to
us.
It really is. And so when you go to search on iTunes and you do the Sin Relief, the Adopting and Fostering Home, you really need to do the Forgotten podcast hand in hand with that. And moms, while you're putting on your makeup, and dads while you're driving to work, or moms while you're driving, it'll just be an encouragement.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much. That means a lot.
Well, we are going to have all of the information about the Forgotten Initiative and the podcast and the Who Loves series all on the show notes. But we just could not be more grateful for the time that you've given us today to share all of this information. And one thing that I really would like for you to share is, if someone is interested in becoming an advocate, what would their next step be?
Yes, have them go right to the website, theforgotteninitiative.org, and learn about becoming an advocate. Or you can just email Holly@theforgotteninitiative.org, and she can send you out all the information about becoming an advocate that way as well. But we need more advocates. Mm-hmm. There are too many underserved communities yes. out there where we need God's people serving and connecting the church to the foster care community.
Oh, Jamie, I love hearing your heart. Mm-hmm. I love your transparency. I love that. I know some mornings when I'm getting up and getting ready and I start listening to your podcast, I know you're living the same life.
Yes.
Like I know that even though I've never met you, that, yeah. you know, that's what heaven's for, that we have all
that's
this time
right.
together
yeah.
to just talk and be with Jesus and see how he worked in all of our lives, you know, and how he brought us together. But I'm grateful he has merged our lives with mm-hmm. yours.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank
My
you.
Favorite statement from today was awareness prompted curiosity. And as you prayed, you became available, and availability led to action. And
Wonderful.
That's what we want our listeners to hear and to do. So thanks so much for all that you do for the kingdom.
Oh, you guys, I appreciate it so much. It's been a great joy to be with you. And thank you for everything that you are doing. We are all in this together, aren't we?
We
Absolutely.
Are. Thanks, Jamie.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.